I'm going to pray. Excuse me. From 2 Corinthians 4. God said, "Let light shine out of darkness," and made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the knowledge of your glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ, and for your work by the Spirit to open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to receive this wonderful glory and know it for ourselves. And we pray for your help now as we consider your word again to be at work amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to take a slight flight of fancy as we begin today. So bear with me in this, see what you think. I think that there may be a museum in heaven. A museum in heaven. I'm making this up, of course, but anyway, bear with me. A museum of world history. And here's how it works. The Museum of World History in heaven. When you arrive, of course, St. Peter welcomes you with his keys jangling at the pearly gates, but I think the Lord Jesus takes over after that anyway, once you're through. And part of his induction to heaven is that the Lord Jesus shows you, takes you to this museum of world history. And once inside, you discover that there are huge rooms devoted to any event you can imagine or think of from world history. Anything you've heard of, things you haven't heard of, they're all there. And the Lord turns and looks to you. "What did you ever wonder about?" he says. And you say, "Well, World War I, of course." So he leads you into the World War I hall. And there, as you walk through, you see every way, every place, every person which the Lord Jesus acted, interacted, changed, dealt with. You go through the trenches, the gas attacks, going over the top, the bombardments, machine gun fire. And it's jaw-dropping. As you go through, you'd never realised how much the Lord Jesus had done. How many people he'd affected. What a huge difference he had made. You turn to him and look at him. And he beckons. He says, "Come this way, let me show you another room." You go to another room, it's a bit smaller, and it's got a nameplate over the door. And you look closely, it's your name. It's your room. And just like with World War I, you're amazed. Every worry, every hurt, every tragedy, every success, the times of joy, the times of great sorrow, he, Jesus, was at work. Every prayer, heard, considered, dealt with, to his honour and your better good. There's the day you committed your life to him. And even before that, he was at work. And even more so afterwards. And as you wander through, you get the feeling that hours, days, months have gone by as you peruse the exhibits. "Come," says the Lord Jesus, leading you out to a dazzling, vast hall. You can visit again whenever you want. There's plenty of time. But now, it's time to meet our Father. Well, it's a made-up picture, isn't it? But here's the thing. Here on earth, many people spend so much time firing questions at God and not listening to the answers. People are cynical about his love and power, dubious about the Lord Jesus. Yet we don't listen. We don't stop. We're too full of, "What about this? What about that?" The answers are all going to be there. Remembrance Sunday reminds us to stop and think, doesn't it? And this passage tells us that right now we need to stop, to spend some time listening to Jesus. as he's made known to us through the pages of the Bible. Mary was incredibly fortunate. She had the Lord Jesus Christ there in person. But even so, she'd worked it out, hadn't she? She knew what was the best thing to do in all the world. So let's take a look at Mary and Martha and the best thing to do in all the world. It's a really simple story. We've been looking at Luke chapter 10, and back earlier in chapter 10, Jesus sent out 72 disciples, and he said to them, they were going out to tell people in the villages and towns about him, he told them to find hospitality wherever they went. They were to knock on houses and see if they would look after them. And that's exactly what Jesus has done here, and he's ended up at this home, where Mary and Martha are. And it's hard, isn't it? Food and lodging for Jesus, probably some of his disciples as well, we don't know how many. It was going to be difficult. And Martha gets to work. But all her sister does is sit and listen to Jesus. Can't he see? Doesn't he care? Why won't he tell her to help? Jesus said, no, sorry, Martha. Mary has got it right. And you've got it wrong. Well, some people hate this story, don't they? Maybe you're one of them. Doesn't it just make you angry? Of course she should have helped. What is she, some lazy kind of person? And Jesus is just wrong here. What's his problem? What a typical man. Jesus never had to cook for that many people. He never had to make that many beds. Honestly. Is that what you're thinking? But Mary is given to us here as an example. Luke points her out and emphasises her. She's exemplary for us. She's a model for us to think about and follow. She got it right. There are a whole sequence of people in Luke's gospel who get it right. So back to chapter 7. There's a centurion. He's a Roman. And he says to Jesus' disciples, Jesus didn't have to come to my place. He just has to say the word. He got it right, didn't he? And he's there as a model for us to think about what faith is about. And then also in chapter 7, there's that woman who goes to the dinner party at Simon's house and she weeps over Jesus' feet and mops his feet with her hair. And Jesus said, she loves me because she knows her sins are forgiven. And again, she's someone for us to think about and follow, a copy. This is what faith in Jesus looks like. And Mary, she's another one, another example. This is what it means to be someone who follows Jesus. A disciple. So what does Mary do? Well, it's there in verse 39, isn't it? Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. No, 39, David. She, Martha, had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. This is what Mary does. She sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. And in the ESV version of the Bible, another translation, it's very similar. It says, she sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. The Greek word is, listen to his words. And his words are really important to Luke. Right back at the start of Luke, he says that he's got this account by listening to people who were servants of the word. Servants of Jesus' word. And throughout the book, Jesus' words are significant. So chapter 4, people are amazed at his words. His words have authority. His words have power. Verse 22, verse 32, and verse 36. In chapter 6, hearing his words and putting them into practice, well, it's what the parable is about, the parable of the two builders. You know, the wise man built his house upon a rock. That he heard Jesus' word and put it into practice. Chapter 6, verse 47. Chapter 8, who are Jesus' mother and brothers? Well, they're those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Chapter 8, 21. Chapter 9, a chapter before this, don't be ashamed of Jesus and his words. And then in the chapter after, chapter 11, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And here's Mary, hearing Jesus' words. Listening carefully, taking them all in. She could have been doing the hospital corners. She could have been stirring the stew. But no, this is a unique opportunity and she knew it. This was not to be missed. Here was the Messiah, the Son of God on earth, the King of the kingdom, teaching about, proclaiming the kingdom of God in person. Not to be missed. Remember last week, the week before rather, maybe 3 weeks ago, I can't remember, chapter 10, verse 24, when the 72 came back, what did Jesus say to them? Have a look. You find it's better if you have a Bible open when I ask you to have a look. But I'll tell you, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Mary has got it sussed. So she sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. And Jesus says, few things are needed, verse 42, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. It's the best thing to do in all the world. So what is the best thing to do in all the world? It is to spend more time with Jesus. Will we spend more time with Jesus? Or what does that mean? And is Jesus going to come and knock on your door at home today and invite himself into lunch? No, he's not. It means spending time quietly, not distracted, listening to Jesus' words and learning from them. And we don't do that by emptying our minds and hoping that something will pop in. Because you know what happens when you do that, don't you? All sorts of things pop in. And trying to work out what might be from God and what might be from Satan and what might be from your tummy or whatever else it is. No. We listen to Jesus' words by reading in the Bible. And the whole of the Bible is about him. He said in John 5 to those coming to test him, he says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Speaking about the Old Testament. So Jesus' words are in the Bible. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, he says, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We do this by reading the Bible. What is spending more time with Jesus? Spending time quietly, not distracted, listening to Jesus' words, learning from him by reading from the Bible. So why do it? Well, two big reasons. First of all, because of who he is. He is this Messiah, the King of the kingdom, the Son of God. And he's the one whose words have power and authority, even for us today. They matter. They make a difference. They work more than anyone else ever. So why do it? Because of who he is, but also because of what sitting at his feet does. It makes us wise for salvation, from Paul's words in 2 Timothy. In other words, we, through reading about Jesus and learning about him from the Bible, we can think God's way. We begin to hate sin more and love our Saviour more and long for his things and his ways. We know how to trust in him, make us wise for salvation. But also, they make us thoroughly equipped for every good work. How we live for him. This is true guidance. So many people want guidance from God. And they're thinking about, well, when I walk out of my house, should I turn to the left or should I turn to the right? And God rarely gives that kind of guidance. But will give us the kind of guidance where, by hearing his words, by sitting at Jesus' feet, we know what God likes. We learn what he loves, what he hates, what honours him, what brings him glory. How we can make him known, what he's like, all those wonderful things. How can we get this? By sitting at Jesus' feet, by reading his word, spending time with him. It's the best thing in the world. Spend more time with Jesus. So what is it? It's quietly spending time learning from him. Why do we do it? Because of who he is, because of what he can do through that in us. So what should we do? How do we actually go about this? some practical ideas. We need to find a time and a place, don't we, when we're not distracted. Some time in the day when we can be on our own and be quiet. And when we found a time and a place, then we actually need to get the Bible and read it. And you can do that in a paper form. You can do that on an app. And read it not just briefly and then forget about it, but read it in such a way that we learn from it. Read it in such a way that we think carefully about it. You see, Christians are learners. We all need a big L plate on our back. And not a kind of a sign of embarrassment that we haven't made it yet, but as a sign that actually we always want to learn from God. Continually, on and on. Our risen, exalted Lord can teach us, and that's fantastic. We can sit at his feet. That's why we've got the Bible. In Hebrews 4:12, the writer says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit." So when we read God's word, he really gets to work in us, changing our thoughts and thinking. We're learners. He helps us to learn about him. So as we sit at Jesus' feet, quietly, reading the Bible, listening to him, God the Holy Spirit gets to work. He uses his sword, the sword of the Spirit, as the Bible calls it, the Bible. He gets into our thinking, challenges us. He teaches, corrects, rebukes, trains, as Paul put it in 2 Timothy 3. Isn't this an amazing privilege? And this is what Mary was thinking. She'd had him there, right in front of her. She wasn't going to do anything else that day, was she? Doesn't matter how much the pots and pans are banging in the background. I'm not sure if you can bang clay pots, so they'll just break. So, practically, we need to find a time and a place and do this. Some more practical thoughts about actually how do we go about reading the text and learning from it. Some ideas to help with that. Well, we've got this Advent Devotions book. This costs £1. It's in the lobby, a few left, if you haven't got one already. And the idea behind this is starting on December the 1st, when you've opened the door of your Advent calendar and got your Mars bar out, then you can read a passage from the Bible and some thoughts about it. And it's looking at the book of Ruth in the Old Testament and looking forward from that to the coming of the Lord Jesus to help us think about Christmas. So it gives you a passage to read and some thoughts to read, a song to listen to, something to pray about. And that's a great way into reading the Bible, or maybe a break from what you'd normally do just over Advent, finding hope under Bethlehem skies. And these things, these books like this, are not just for Advent. You can get them for throughout the year, a Bible passage and someone helping you think about that passage. That's one idea. Here's another. This is a book from a series called Explore by the Book. And in a similar way, you've got a passage to look at. But what this one does, it gives you a bit more space. And instead of one person just kind of talking to you about the passage, it stops and says, ask you questions. So we've got a passage here, read John 17, verse 20 to 23. It's got a little comment. And it says, well, what is the world going to know as a result of this unity? And the idea is you go back to the passage and you try and answer that question. You dig into it deeper. And then the other side, some place for you to scribble down your notes and thoughts. So I think that's a really good idea. It gives you time to actually, for yourself, be more of a learner with the passage and dig in. Not just listen to what someone else has to say, but think about it and let God the Holy Spirit be at work as you do that. So that's Explore by the Book. And at the moment, those are only £5.99, those books. Nice hardback from the Good Book Company. You can find them online. If I remember, I'll put a link in the news sheet next week. So, Advent Devotions, Explore by the Book. Here's another idea. And this is called the Swedish Method. I hope, did these get handed out when you came in? No! Jacob's now going to run to back of church. And while I tell you about these, hand them out to you. This comes from Cypher Camps years ago. And it's just a set of little pictures and questions for every single passage in the Bible. The idea being that if we're going to be learners from God, we need to be able to look at anything and learn from him. And you might think, okay, we're looking at Luke's gospel in the sermons. I'm going to read Luke for myself. So you go to Luke chapter 1 and you choose a chunk. Well, why don't, there you are, there's a paragraph there that looks like a section. And then the next day you can read a bit more and a bit more. and you read it, and then you ask these questions. And it starts by saying, what strikes me straight away? Just an initial thought, once you've read the passage, what do you notice? And then go a bit deeper into it. What's the situation? I mean, what happened in the bit before it? What's going to happen afterwards? Because that will colour what's going on. What does it say about God? All important. What does it say about people? There might be something about what we're like in our relationship with God. Is there anything I don't get? Maybe reading the passage is something you just can't work out. Write it down. Ring a friend. Email the vicar. And then having thought about it for a while with those questions, then you think, well, okay, what's it going to do? So what? How shall I change? How shall I change my thinking? How shall I change my actions? Maybe there's a promise there that I can remember. Maybe there's a prayer for me to pray. Perhaps there's a command for me to listen to and obey. How shall I change? And at the end, communicate, talk to God, pray about what you've learned. And there's a mobile there. Who else should I tell? Why not share what you've thought with a friend, with a Christian friend, for their encouragement and yours? So there you go. And it's neatly set, sized so that it fits perfectly into a church Bible if you've got one of these, and is a nice bookmark. So there you go. Take that home with you, please. That's a Swedish method. Don't know why it's called the Swedish method. So there's some ideas about actually reading the Bible for ourselves. Start by finding that time and place. Maybe use something like the Advent notes. Perhaps get something that gives you a bit more space and ask some questions. Explore by the book. Or just have a go yourself with the Swedish method. Well, maybe you're thinking about this and you say to me, well, David, it's all very well, but I'm just like Martha, actually. I'm a Martha kind of person. You know, I'm not really a Mary kind of person. I'm a Martha kind of person. Distracted by stuff. Can't find time. Well, Jesus wants us to be like Mary in this passage. And that's why Luke's recorded it for us. Martha was doing useful things. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But sometimes, even with all the useful things that we do, we need to find that space for something that's better, and that is to sit at Jesus' feet. And maybe it means that you clean the house a little bit less. Maybe there's the old cobweb, but you're getting to sit at Jesus' feet. It is easy, isn't it, for some of us to make space for other things, and that's something we need to consider in our life. Perhaps you like social media, spend a lot of time on that, or gaming, or sport. Perhaps those things need just squeeze them a little bit more to make space for time with the Lord. Perhaps you're in a home situation that's a bit oppressive, and that's where it can be really difficult to find that time. Do make use of apps, because you can get apps where you can read the Bible, or even listen to it being read out, and you can pop some headphones in, and someone in your house might never need to know that you're actually spending that time with Jesus as you sit on the sofa. They think you're on TikTok, but actually, reading the Bible. Perhaps someone says, well, David, I'm not even a Christian yet. Well, doesn't matter. Have a go. Sit at Jesus' feet. Why not have a look at something like Mark's Gospel and read about his life and his teaching? See what you find out. See what you think. So what will we expect if we do this? If we spend more time with Jesus by quietly and in a way that's not distracted, listening to Jesus' words, learning from him by reading from the Bible. What should we expect? Well, with many relationships, the more time you spend with a person, the stronger that relationship. And that's the case with our Lord Jesus and his word. The more time we spend with him, the more we know him, the more we're able to call to him and know him at every stage of our lives. The Museum of World History, if it exists, probably doesn't, would be less of a surprise to us, wouldn't it, as we knew the Lord more. We'd know him at work anyway, and we'd trust him in our lives to be at work. It's got to be good, hasn't it? Well, we're in a world that likes firing questions at God. Perhaps it's time to stop and sit down and take some time to listen. Let's pray. Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can spend time at the feet of our Lord Jesus. Though we don't see him, though he is exalted in heaven now, yet we have your word. And so we pray for your help to find that time and that place where we can be alone and not distracted in the midst of our busy lives. Help us to squeeze some of the other things so that our time with you isn't squeezed. And help us to be learners, Lord, becoming more wise for salvation, being taught and corrected and rebuked and equipped for our lives trusting in Jesus. Help us to sit at his feet, to spend more time with him. In Jesus' name, amen.